Welcome to Prime Flix, the 15-minute film discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ed, along with my co-host, Ben. Each week on Prime Flix, we pick a film, watch it, and discuss it. Our films are always available to stream on Netflix and or Amazon Prime. Our film today is 13 Assassins. It is available on Netflix streaming as of whatever today's date is when this drops. It has been available for years, so it should still be available. It's a pretty straightforward remake, actually, of a samurai film from the 70s. It has a 7.6 on IMDb, has a 96% and a certified fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes, and an 87%, which is a pretty high score, on Metacritic. So the critics, the fans, everyone seems to really enjoy this film. What did you think of it, Ben?
I had a lot of fun watching this. Mm-hmm. It's, on the one hand, a fairly simple plot, but one that never fails to disappoint in the sort of the variations that I've seen in different samurai films. This is one of the better ones.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the, you know, the bad man needs to be, taught a lesson or ousted is, you know, pretty common. Honor is always right. A big theme in these sorts of things.
Honor, duty, that sort of stuff.
Exactly. We see that with the man who's sworn to protect the, you know, psychopath warlord. What's his name? Hanbei? Is his
Hanbei is the guy who is committed.
Yeah.
Come hell or high water.
Yep.
To defending the shogunate.
Right. So I think just starting wherever is the best place to start, which I guess would be the beginning.
Jeez. Sure. Why not?
I think that this film, I can't remember who I was, maybe it was you I was talking to about this, but somebody I was talking to recently, I was mentioning that when you have a bad guy in a movie or a TV show, you need to, I think, very quickly and very succinctly identify him as the bad guy and make him very bad to make the show work. Game of Thrones does this very well, for those of you who have seen it, with the character Joffrey. There's quite a few scenes where he does some really heinous things. And the first, you know, three or four, this film just hits you with three different instances of really horrible things this guy does.
Oh, yeah. There is no gray area with the evilness of the villain of this piece.
Yeah, and it's in a way almost as well, or along with that, as a kind of, it's commentary on what wealth can do to somebody, in a sense, because
right. He
essentially has lived in privilege, and he does this stuff because he's bored.
Right, he just hates everything.
Right, yeah. He's never been in battle. He's actually excited when people try to assassinate him, because it gives him a chance to be in battle, because he's been raised as this, you know, spoiled relative of the shogun, who is now ascending the ladder is what, you know.
Yeah, he really kind of fell into the whole being the boss man. Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting because, I mean, I think he's also, in a weird way, he feels so like an alien in his own skin that he's amazed that he's like, well, wait, nothing I do is bad. Like, it just doesn't make sense to him. He doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, he's like testing it almost. He's saying...
Right, he's just testing it now, yeah.
Yeah. I think there are a couple other things that I liked about this. Obviously, I enjoy sort of quest-type movies, because they always have their almost one-note characters, sort of out of necessity. You just couldn't have 13 well-developed characters in a film.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the whole time. I was like, and I was really kind of, I would be hard-pressed to remember distinct characters out of the 12. Seven Samurai, it's hard to keep track of all seven of them. They're very distinct, but that movie's over 3 hours long.
Sure.
13 Samurai is twice the samurai in half the time.
12 Samurai, but one hunter.
Yeah,
12 dozen,
and whatever, yeah.
One or the other.
He was, yeah. But it does a pretty good job. You kind of get the main beats, and if nothing else, they do a good job. Instead of maybe establishing every character, they establish the teamwork of the group.
Exactly. I think that's a pretty neat, like, sort of team dynamic. You know, this is like the Ocean's 11 of the samurai world, as it were.
Ocean's 13, really.
Yeah, I guess so. And I really did like, and this is just probably indicative of the kinds of things that I tend to like to watch, but it reminded me in a lot of weird ways of things like The Wire, wherein they really give equal coverage, equal weighting to the good guys and the bad guys. Because there certainly are plenty of films where there's a bad guy and there's this main henchman, and you know that, you know, as things go on, the good guy is going to face the henchman at the end of the battle before he faces the bad guy. But in this film, they actually made the henchman one of the main characters, and made it, yeah, and showed sort of respect in that he and Shinzaemon, is that his name?
Yes, Shinzaemon.
Yeah. That they were both, you know, they used to spar and that sort of thing with each other, and they know each
other. Yeah, they're old friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it brings that extra level of complexity to it in the same way, in that they're, you know.
I thought it was really good. They didn't overplay like the emotional weight of any of those types of pairings in the movie,
right,
either, which I liked. It was played very faithfully. It's also, I just think, maybe it's because there's just sheer numbers involved. Not only are there 12 samurai plus one extra to kind of keep track of in the whole thing, but also, I mean, just the volume of people who fight and are killed in this movie is insane.
It is, yes.
But it really kind of, because of those huge numbers, you really kind of understand the it's the concepts and the ideals that these people represent, where there's order and structure versus virtue and what's doing right in spite of what's difficult, that sort of thing.
Yep.
I think that's the core conflict of the piece, which is really compelling and obviously a timeless type of a story.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's definitely more about the people, or the, I had that backwards, it's more
the ideals
involved than the people. And it is interesting because I think it plays so well in a modern setting, i.e. that it's, you know, it actually did fairly well when it was sort of brought to American audiences. Because in the same way that a lot of like period pieces, like, you know, Mad Men or something like that, kind of calls attention to the way things used to be, it's the same kind of thing. Like, you know, the guy at the beginning of the film commits suicide because he wants to protest something, which,
right,
you know, to like our parents' generation, that wasn't that uncommon in the 60s and so forth, people setting themselves on fire and, you know, that sort of thing.
It was still not common.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah,
but
it was the extreme protest and stuff.
Right,
yeah.
It was something that you would be exposed to, whereas, you know, I would say that that's less common. People will chain themselves to trees and stuff now, but it's not as, and I guess Hunter S. Thompson, you know, supposedly killed himself in such a protest, you know, kind of way. But, I think that's one example of the many things in this film that you find yourself kind of as a modern person going, man, I sort of respect that, but I don't understand it.
Oh, yeah.
Why doesn't the guy, you know, I lost his name again.
Hanbei.
Why doesn't he, you know, he's close to this guy. Why doesn't he just take him out?
I was so ready at some point for that to turn and for finally the people fighting for... I forget his name, the son of the shogun, basically, mm-hmm, or the adopted son. Naritsugu, there we go.
Naritsugu.
I was waiting for somebody else to come up and strike him down from behind, or just Hanbei would just turn around and challenge him right there, mm-hmm, something.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Hanbei to kill himself.
Right.
In disgust and just say I've dishonored.
Yeah, I can't
whatever
I can
else
no
whatever other ideals I grew up with.
Right.
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
But no, instead he fights to the death for the wrong side and the ideal that for whatever reason it's bigger than even them.
That's considered honorable. That
of course
he would rather do that than do the opposite, which is to to dishonor himself, which is, mm-hmm, such a strange. It's not what you'd see written into a modern tale like this.
Right. Well, you know, it also plays into the idea of people who are samurai and people who are not samurai.
Yes.
Because everybody who is samurai lives by this
Bushido,
ninja.
Yeah.
They live this certain way. Mm-hmm. And everybody who isn't, like Noritsugu, who is royalty,
mm-hmm,
he is not bound by that. But because he is royalty, the samurai owe him their loyalty.
Right. Exactly.
That kind of thing. It's really interesting. I was ready for the violence to really kind of go. I mean, this is Takashi Miike, the director. Mm-hmm. He's done far more violent films in the past. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds funny to say when you're killing hundreds of people, but it wasn't that violent.
Yeah, the on-screen
it wasn't,
well, violence.
Juicy.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You know,
the
it wasn't gory. There were some violent, gory parts, sure.
Mm-hmm.
He uses it. Takashi Miike, he uses it really effectively, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain points where the violence is very raw and apparent, and other times it's a little bit more just kind of dashing and sweeping and artistic.
Mm-hmm.
He plays that like any other instrument in the movie. It's very good.
Nice. I'm not familiar with his other work, but I will check out some of his other films.
Audition and Ichi the Killer, some of his more famous ones.
Okay. So I guess along that line, we talked about quite a few films that are sort of tangentially related, or, you know, characters potentially. I'm a little bit at a loss here because I haven't been exposed that much to the samurai genre. As I mentioned to you, I've seen a few Kurosawa movies, seen some Zatoichi movies. I've always liked the samurai and that story, and I like stuff set in that time period. I even liked the movie The Last Samurai, which wasn't a great movie, but, you know, was sort of a modern attempt at bringing the samurai back, since they've been out of the power for a while.
Right.
But it's interesting. I when, you know, you look at this film on IMDb, I've mentioned this on the show before, they always give you other people who like this also like these other films, which I always, you know, half of them are incorrect and half of them are not, but they're always entertaining. Two films that I actually recommended that I can kind of understand why they would be liked by the same people. One is Attack the Block, which is kind of a...
I see vague... shadows of one for the other. Yeah,
you got a group of people fighting against something, and right, it's a good movie. It's entertaining, low budge, kind of good thing. The other one that is more related and is kind of the modern equivalent of this is The Raid Redemption, or The Raid, Redemption, which is not available on Netflix, but I highly recommend if anybody enjoys martial arts films to check it out. It's essentially the same prospect as this. There's an evil warlord. He's at the top of this complex, and he's doing all these horrible things. And this SWAT team with this, you know, crack killer cop at the head come in and basically go floor by floor to get to the top to get to him. And so, you know, in the same sense of just watching just tons and tons of violence floor to floor in the same way you see just like tons, you know, you're talking about 13 assassins plus a village against, you know, 250 people in this film.
Right.
It's basically very little plot and just lots of action. And it was a pretty cool movie if you haven't checked it out. But yeah, so those are both, although not samurai movies, would be appropriate, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if I really have that much more to add in the way of samurai movies, because actually the samurai sort of genre, as it were, is pretty broad, and you can have these sort of big, dynamic, crazy action movies. You can have very quiet, meditative or contemplative dramas. Mm-hmm. The one that really just keeps, that you can't help but think about, is Seven Samurai, just because it's a gang of samurai who, in this case, rather than trying to kill one particular person, are trying to defend a village. Obviously, that's kind of one of the best films of all time. So, by all means, check that one out.
Sure. Yeah, there's one. You mentioned Takashi Miike. Is that how you say his name?
Yes.
He has one other film on Netflix streaming, which I don't know if you've seen, but it's Harikari, The Death of a Samurai.
No, I have not seen that.
So
there's plenty of Harikari in this movie, too.
Yes, indeed.
I'm not sure if I hadn't gotten my fill yet, if I need to check that out.
Right. But so that's another option. So good to always see a samurai flick. I was actually surprised by, you know, this received quite a bit of attention, and it was well received. So it's one of those films that I keep kind of telling people to check out. And, you know, very few ever do, but that's true with most of my suggestions. So I was glad we got to talk about it on the show. All right, well, that will be it for this episode. Until next time, happy streaming.